Gospel once again. Hope you're enjoying Mark's Gospel. If you read two chapters a week, you'll complete it in 2 months, and that gives you another month to read it again, because we're going to be in it for about 3 months, God willing. And I only have two verses this morning. I hope you don't feel cheated from Mark chapter 1. Can't seem to get out of Mark chapter 1, but what a treasure in these verses. I'm impressed by Jesus. John's gospel tells us that there's something mysteriously wonderful about this person. He's divine. He's the Son of the living God. He's God in human form. The Gospel of Matthew particularly emphasizes that he's the Messiah, he's the King. The Gospel of Luke, that Ken alluded to this morning, particularly emphasizes that this wonderful person in the terms of his humanity. And all these Gospels talk about his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. But the Gospel of Mark has an emphasis on it that this wonderful person is a servant. He's the suffering servant. He's the slave savior. I'm impressed by that. And the Gospel of Mark begins as you would expect, a news bulletin about a slave. Nothing about his pedigree, nothing about his early life, nothing about his parents, nothing about where he was born. And he comes to the lowest place in Israel, the River Jordan, and submits to a baptism because he's the servant. He's pleasing the Father. And the Gospel of Mark ends with this person exalted to the highest place. Never lose fascination about Jesus. Never get bored reading the Gospels. Read it as if you've never read it before. And in these two verses this morning, it's very short, but it's so full of meaning. We actually see this incredible person tempted and tested by Satan. Led, in fact, it says, driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. That this servant submitted to a time of testing and a time of temptation. And we read these words, at once or immediately, the Spirit sent him into the desert or the wilderness. And he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended him. My goal this morning is to look at these two verses and get some insights, get some lessons for us. Not only was Jesus tempted and tested, but the scriptures actually teach us that he was tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. And there is a comfort that the Lord brings to us in times of testing and temptation. He's been there, he's been through it, and he was victorious in it. And when we're tempted, as many of us are being tempted, is that true? When we're tested, as many of us are being tested, if we're going through desert times or desert seasons or desert experiences, did you know there is somebody in heaven who knows exactly how we feel, and he wants to help us in a way that nobody else can? I think this is going to be very relevant to us this morning if we have experienced testing or temptation. And sometimes when we're going through difficult times, we ask the wrong questions. What have I done wrong? Who's to blame? Where is God? But sometimes we have to ask other questions. What's God up to? What's God's purpose in this? Where can I find a comfort and a help in the midst of this? Because Jesus really does understand testing and temptation. And he had to go through that. We need to realize that just as surely as Jesus had to die on the cross, he also had to go through these days in the wilderness. He couldn't bypass it. In fact, a large part of the testing for Jesus was when you actually examine the other Gospels, is that the devil offered him an easier way of becoming the owner of the earth. You don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through obscurity. You don't have to be a suffering servant. If you do it my way, I will make sure that you get the kingdoms of this earth. And Jesus overcame that temptation and that testing. And he did it as for the Father, and he did it for us. It's fantastic. 40 days of his life was a very significant 40 days. So let's have a wee look at this passage and what we can glean from it and learn from it. And, you know, you can read the Bible for yourself, and you should read the Bible for yourself. You should study the Bible for yourself, and you should ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and insight and revelation. What is God saying to me through this passage? And that got me thinking, well, why do we then need people to actually teach and preach? If God's given us the Bible, we all can read it, and we should, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. And here's one of the purposes, I think, of a teacher. A teacher is somebody who helps you notice things that you may not notice. So you go back to it afresh, and you're awakened, your spirit is awakened. And I had a walk yesterday with the dog. I call it a prayer walk, and I'm sure you do this too, Mark. And my dog has heard the most intimate things coming out of my mouth. She's heard me confess my sins, my frustrations, my failures, my petitions, my desires, my supplications, my intercessions. And she doesn't tell anybody. Keeps it a surprise, keeps it a secret. Just wags her tail. But one of the places I walk, Heather said, where did you walk this morning? And I said, I did the bluebell walk. And I call this the bluebell walk because in early spring, all these bluebells emerge dramatically. It's amazing. And I got to thinking, I don't remember if I saw any bluebells. I don't think I noticed any bluebells. And I went on the same walk this morning, but I kept my eyes open. And I said, I'm determined to notice. And I noticed not only were the bluebells out, but they were actually starting to die. And I had missed that yesterday. I didn't notice it. And sometimes we don't notice things in the Bible that are very significant. And I want you to notice a few things. Before Jesus was tempted and tested, what was actually happening just before that? It was amazing. The heavens had opened. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. He was affirmed by the Father. You're my beloved Son. With you I'm well pleased. There was revival, brothers and sisters. What an affirmation of who he was. And he's about to start the most incredible ministry. At that point, the Spirit drove him into the desert to be tested. Very interesting observation. Have you noticed sometimes that at the point of where God's definitely been at work in your life, you've had some sort of encounter with God, some sort of breakthrough, and then comes a time of temptation or testing? Don't be shocked or surprised at that. That is normal. I remember I was helped many years ago by a guy called Michael Shaw, and I'd just become a Christian. And I was around about the age of 12 and a half, 13. And Michael was very helpful to me. And I thought this guy, he was an older man, older Christian. I thought he'd be so excited about me becoming a Christian. I think he was. But when he heard I decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, cue for a song. He was very serious. He said, Stephen, has anyone talked to you about assurance of salvation and helped prepare you for the doubts that you're going to experience? I said, no. And Michael took some time with the Bible, and he showed me how I could be assured that my sins were forgiven, that I was a child of God, and he took me to some scriptures. And I was attacked in the early days of my Christian life with all kinds of doubts. It's normal. God has given us the ability to doubt. He's so secure about himself. He's given us the ability to doubt. And I was vulnerable in that area, and many of you are as well. And it really helped me when somebody prepared me for that and told me the truth and gave me some weapons. Give me some scriptures. So notice that what happened to Jesus before this. Very interesting. Notice what happened after this time of testing and temptation. In all the Gospels, it was soon after coming back from the desert that his ministry really took off. And he was casting out evil spirits, he was healing the sick, he was preaching the gospel, he was making disciples. And I always felt, well, the reason he could do all that is because the Holy Spirit had come upon him. The reason he could do all that is because he was affirmed as the Son of God and the Father was well pleased. But one of the reasons that it was time to do that is he had gone through the time of testing and he had overcome. Brothers and sisters, there might be a calling on your life. There might be a ministry for you, a role to play, a purpose in your life. Don't be shocked or surprised if there is a season of waiting or a season of testing or a season of overcoming. It is normal. Jesus went through it. How much more us as we follow Jesus? And ask yourself this question during a time of testing. What's he preparing me for? Good question. Like as Ken said, you can remember the past and you can actually remember the present in a very negative way. But if you press in God, what's he teaching me? What's he preparing for me? What's he up to? It's very, very helpful and very, very comforting. Notice, again, the bluebells. 40 days. The number 40, very significant in the Bible. We see it about Moses, Elijah. 40 years in the wilderness for Israel. And Jesus went through 40 days. But 40 days is a definite but limited period of time. It's a very specific period of time. And it speaks of a time of testing, but there is an end to it. Brothers and sisters, there is an end to the day of evil. There is an end to temptation in that particular situation. There's an end to the days of testing. It's for a season. Hold through. Persevere. Be like Jesus. Draw near to God. Run to God, not away from God. Run to. What's he preparing me for? This is exciting. This is normal. And God has timings and seasons in our lives. I was strongly encouraged during the week reading the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time to live, a time to die, a time for this, a time for that. And I just began to rejoice. Time's a blessing. We need to stop thinking about time as, I don't have enough time. And, you know, I feel that time's going too quickly. And, oh, you know, the good old days, you know, I'm past it. No, there's a time for everything. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the season. Don't miss the now. If it's a time of testing, hold through. It's temporary. And we're living for eternity, which is beyond time. So be encouraged. Be comforted. And ask God, what is this season all about? And maybe he'll show us. Notice that Jesus, it says in the New Testament, in Hebrews, that Jesus was tempted and tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Chapter 4. It says like this. We have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who's passed through the heavens, the highest place. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, especially during times of testing and trial and temptation. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Isn't that outstanding? He sympathizes with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, and we'll receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. We have somebody to turn to who's familiar with humanity. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be tested. And we're encouraged to come with confidence to the throne of grace. Actually, the picture of Jesus helping us in temptation is the picture of a mother breastfeeding her child. There's an intimacy with the Lord during times of testing, times of temptation, for God's people who'll turn to him and look to him. And I have found that in my life. During difficult times, there is an opportunity to experience something of the Lord's grace and strength and mercy that we don't experience at other times. Isn't that encouraging? So Jesus was tempted as we were, and also all of God's people will go through some kind of temptation or testing. It's not a strange thing. It's not an unusual thing. A couple of other scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says like this. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found the result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. You see, that's part of the problem. We're taken aback sometimes. Sometimes when there's a cluster of sickness in the church, I get very, very discouraged. And I get very, but it drives me to prayer. When there's a cluster of difficulties in some of the areas you're working in, we can be very, very unsettled by that. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial, as if something strange was happening to you. There's certain things in the Christian life are normal, but we don't think they're normal. It's normal to be tempted. Temptation is not sin. It's a very real thing, but it's normal. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, with every temptation that's common to man, there is a way of escape. And when I was a young Christian in my teens, one of the verses I was encouraged to memorize was 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. I'm so grateful for that. So if you're going through testing, temptation, difficulty, there is a way of escape. There is grace. There is mercy. There is a breastfeeding from heaven for our experience. Don't be shocked. Don't be unsettled. And the genuineness of our faith is coming forth. I was thinking like this. How did Jesus have no difficulty casting out evil spirits? Was it the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Of course it was. Was it his affirmation from the Father? Of course it was. Was it because he was the Son of God? Of course it was. But I think he overcame the devil in his private personal life, and he carried authority when he went out to minister. And that gives me so much encouragement. As we overcome with his strength and help those private battles, it'll equip us for helping other people. Notice again the bluebells. The agent was Satan. God allowed it. God permitted it. The Spirit drove him and led him into the situation. But it was Satan, the adversary, the devil, who was the agent. We have a very real enemy. It's wrong to make too much of the devil, but it's wrong to imagine he doesn't exist. Proverbs 16, verse 4 is very comforting. Read this in my quiet time this morning. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of judgment. Even the devil is subject to God's purpose. So although the warfare can be very real, the temptation can be very real, remember God is God. He's bigger and he's stronger and he's for us. But this, let me say this. In Mark's gospel, we don't have details about the temptation. You can find those in the other gospels. And I think the temptation was primarily to do it the devil's way rather than the Father's way. But if you were your enemy, how would you destroy you? That will give you insight into some of the ways the enemy tempts us and attacks us. Last week I shared about my vulnerability to discouragement. And until I repented of disenchanted egotism. But you know something? When you're discouraged, you're tempted. You're tempted to give up. You're tempted to discourage other people. You're tempted to doubt God, to doubt yourself in God. But if you were your enemy, how would you destroy you? And sometimes it's good to be very honest with yourself and with God. Is it the sexual area? Is it the area of money or possessions? Is it the area of power? Call a spade a spade. You have a comforter. You have a helper. Temptation is not sin. It's, you understand, yielding to it is sin. But sometimes in the church, we almost isolate ourselves in our minds and we think, there must be something really weird. I'm being tempted in this area. Brothers and sisters, we're all being tempted. In fact, I want this on the internet and I might go to prison for saying this. But you see the crisis among our young people about gender and sexual immorality and bisexuality. A lot of that's just temptation in their hearts and minds. But someone is coming along and saying, that's your identity. Or you have to do that. You have to live like that. It's a lie. It's a very real temptation. And let's support people who are being tempted in every way. Let's point them to Jesus. They're by the grace of God. But let's not be conned. The enemy wants us to think that because we're tempted in a certain area, that's automatically what we want to do or what we want to be. Not true. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Get it out all over the internet. But know yourself. Know your weakness. This I found really helpful in a thing called HALT. H-A-L-T. You know about this, Laura? Yeah. And when people are helping people who are addicted or people who self-harm, they encourage them to remember H-A-L-T, HALT. You are vulnerable when you are experiencing H-A-L-T, HALT. H is hungry. Jesus was hungry. You are vulnerable when you're hungry. It's true. And sometimes you need to have a nice meal. Yes, cast out the evil spirits, but have a nice dinner. Have a pizza at Alex's. A is anger. When you're angry, you're vulnerable to thoughts of self-harm, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of murder. That's why the Bible is so practical. Don't let the sun go down in anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. Forgive quickly. When you're angry, you're vulnerable. L is lonely. I remember, I've told you this story before. I was speaking about depression, causes of depression. This little old lady came up afterwards and said, really good talk, Dr. Rogers, but you left out the most important thing. And this is especially in the elderly, which is why I think it's significant we have this opportunity to minister in one of the residential homes even today. But loneliness is a very vulnerable thing for people. They're tempted when they're lonely. That's why fellowship, friendship, being in community, being inclusive is so important. And my favorite, in inverted commas, worst of all, tired. Oh, if I hear one more person say to me, I'm tired all the time. Because when we're tired and we're not sleeping well, we're vulnerable to the enemy. Realize these things and press in God and look to God. He can help us and give us grace and wisdom and mercy. And he can succor us and he can breastfeed us through those things. And sometimes practical wisdom is part of that. So encourage one another. We're all being tempted. We're all being tested. At different times, different seasons, let's stand together. But what is the purpose of temptation and testing? Jesus was submitting to the Father. Jesus was going to the way of the cross. And temptation and testing was to distract him from God's perfect will for him. And thank God that Jesus made it. What a model, what an example, what a leader, what an inspiration. He did it for us. He didn't just die on the cross, he went through the 40 days. Why does God allow testing and temptation? If I was God, I would not have testing and temptation as part of my job description. But you know, testing and temptation makes you stronger. And there's a couple of scriptures. Well, one scripture, and you'll find this in the book of Numbers 24, verse 8, which I love. And it's a prophecy from Balaam, and it says like this, Numbers 24, verse 8. God brings him out of Egypt, and it is for him like the horns of a wild ox. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and he'll break their bones in pieces. That wee phrase, he'll eat up the enemy. When you overcome the enemy, it'll be food to you. It'll strengthen you. When you overcome temptation, it'll put steel in you. It'll affirm your faith is genuine. It'll prepare you for even greater exploits and greater battles. Overcoming small private battles prepares us for big battles. David dealt with a lion, then he dealt with a bear, then he dealt with Goliath. If you try to defeat Goliath on behalf of the city of Belfast, but you haven't won your personal private battles against the lion and the bear that comes against you, it makes us stronger and more effective because we learn to be able to minister hope and help to others because we have faced and battled and overcome those very things. And I wrote down here, oh, to have a young person who can say, I overcame those private battles. There is a way of escape. It's possible to follow Jesus. It's possible to say no. And it's possible to fail and get up again. Oh, for an older person who doesn't grow old disgracefully, but grows old gracefully and still zealous for God, still faithful to God. Oh, for someone in a materialistic country who overcomes and is a generous person and manifests the kingdom when all around us there's all kinds of materialism. The purpose of temptation, it teaches us dependence on God in a way that other things don't. And it teaches us also how to draw help from one another as well. If anyone ever comes to me and says, can I talk to you, Stephen? I'm being tempted in this area. My respect for you doesn't go down, it goes up. And the first thing I would say to that person is, I've probably been tempted, if not that exact thing, something similar. We're in this together, and he's for you in this. And the devil works in darkness, and sometimes bringing something into the light is 90% of the victory. And I notice, and with temptation and trial, Jesus received comfort in the middle of it from the angels. And some people would say also from the wild animals. Some people say that's a negative part, being in the desert with wild animals and snakes. But maybe the wild animals were a comfort to Jesus. Because there is a day coming when the lion will lie with the lamb and the snake will play with a child. Jesus was in a different realm. He was in the kingdom realm. But anyway, angels attended him. When specifically did the angels attend Jesus? When he was tempted and tested. And there's a comfort and an angelic supply sometimes comes during times of testing. Don't worry if you've never seen your angels. It's okay. I mean, I've heard prophetic people say they've seen things around me and all, and I find that so comforting because I don't see it or feel it. But I think God does send his angels to help us. I think there's times when my car could have been written off. Do you ever get experiences like that? I could mention the one about the handbrake if you want, but I think an angel guided that car when that handbrake went off and it rolled down this hill round a corner and it didn't hit anyone or kill. Can you imagine if it had hit a child? Something like that. And I say, God, I think you're protecting us and doing more behind our back than in front of our faces. And I don't need to feel the angels, see the angels, hear the angels. It's nice if that happens. I just need to trust that everything I need is going to be supplied. Remember Elijah, the young man. Oh, we're outnumbered. Open his eyes, Lord. Chariots of fire everywhere. Chariots of fire around God's people. The angel of the Lord camping around God's people. Notice it. It's a bluebell experience. And I finish really by saying, you know, I'm comforted by these two verses. I'm encouraged by these two verses. I hope they've encouraged you. During times of trial and testing, press in God and receive everything you need. You see, Christianity is not a game. It's not a hobby. It's not an add-on. It's everything. And I'm so impressed by Jesus. What an example. What a model. What a leader. Let's follow him everywhere, even in the desert. Even in the wilderness. Keep following Jesus. No turning back. I know. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
it's always dangerous getting up after somebody talks about temptation because everyone wonders what you're going to say. I had this thought last week. Mark gave this testimony about Cookie. But he started off the testimony by saying, Mr. Cookie's coming back next week. And never at any point in the testimony did he say that Cookie was a dog. And I thought, if somebody is here who doesn't know that Cookie's a dog, this sounds like the weirdest testimony or announcement in any church. Because Mark said he's coming back next week. He's lost a lot of weight, but don't give him any treats. And you need to stay away from him, give him some space. And I'm if somebody's sitting here as a guest that doesn't know that Mr. Cookie's a dog, they're going to think we've got some angry fat person in our church who needs to be avoided. But if you knew he was a dog, you didn't bat an eyelid. And that is evidenced by the fact that nobody who's here regularly who knows that Cookie's a dog thought anything else of it. And I thought, if you're here this morning and listen to what Step's saying and you don't realize that Jesus was a man, a real human being, then none of what Step said means anything. None of what he said makes any sense. But when you get the realization, no, hang on a second, he was fully human, he was fully like me, then all of a sudden it means something. Similarly, there are people in the world who don't know that Jesus was fully God, and so they don't get the whole picture. But when you know that, you can go back, like Step saying was about a teacher who helps you to notice things. When you notice that he's a man, or when you notice that he's God, or when you notice that he was tempted, or when you notice the way he spoke, or you notice that you go back and you read again because you can see something different in what he said. So welcome back, Cookie.